night,
and I really enjoyed it. I'll admit this, I don't want to, but I went reluctantly. People had told me it'd be boring. And I shouted through the whole thing, raised my hand,
Amen.
And I enjoyed myself. And the main reason I enjoyed myself was because the testimony, John said he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the word of the Lord and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the testimony and the word was both there last night. And I got blessed. Amen. And good to have Brother Sean here with us this morning. Our Sunday school lesson this morning is about seeking out opportunities. All the lessons in this book have been upon opportunities. And our golden text is Isaiah 55, verse 6. And it says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." Now, I didn't seek the Lord till late in life, but He's not hard to find. When you just get your mind made up, you're going to find Him. You'll find out He's not very far from any one of us. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Verse 14 says, "I will be found of you, saith the Lord." James 4, 2 says, "You have not because you ask not." Luke 11:9 says, "Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." This lesson's about two men that were seeking the Lord, and He's not hard to find, especially if you'll go where He's at, amen. And our lesson takes place in Luke chapter 18, in case you don't have a Sunday school book, Luke chapter number 18. Actually, it starts verse 35. But our introduction says we have in this lesson two instances of men who sought the Lord as soon as the opportunity presented itself. Both of these men had issues. They were, to some degree, handicapped. One by blindness, which was Bartimaeus. And the other, he's a politician. He's a publican. But also, he's of short stature. In other words, he's not very tall. And had they not immediately grasped their opportunities, well, they would have probably missed heaven. And they had to overcome some difficulties. But they possibly would have perhaps never received the help that they needed because Jesus had what they needed. And He was never to pass through Jericho again. He's on His way to Jerusalem. Two kinds of needs here. One of them was physical need. Barabbas was blind. He wants to see. I don't care what the world says. I'll tell you this right now. There's nothing the Lord can't do.
Amen.
He does all things well. I don't never underestimate God.
Amen.
He's still doing miracles. Man, He's still saving. He's still straightening some crooked out. I was crooked as a dog's leg. He still does miracles. I don't care, the doctors can't explain it all the way. And one thing that man testified last night, he said, I don't know no other way to say this but a miracle. He said, I'll run a barge, I'm a ship captain. And he said, I know how to tie a knot. He said, I tied four knots, put the noose around my neck, jumped off my bed, and hit the ground, and the bed sheet fell beside me, straight as a string, with not a knot one in it. He said, you explain away if you want to. That was really good last night. But this lesson shows us two individuals that are seeking help. They had to overcome obstacles. They had people were groaning and following Jesus. But both of these men obtained an audience with Him, and so can you. Jesus brought salvation to each of them, and He'll bring salvation to you. They showed the evidence of salvation, and you can too. I'm like old Paul sometimes. I'm like he said about the Galatians. I stand in doubt of you, but I do like to see the evidence. But this lesson shows us that Jesus is concerned with lost individuals. He had a multitude thrown in Him, and yet out of that multitude, He picked two out. And the reason He picked those two out is they're seeking Him. Then they had two different situations, two different issues. But if we seek Him, we will find Him. And He came to seek and save that which is lost. That's our introduction. Our lesson begins in Luke 18, verse 35. And I like this wording, and it came to pass. That means this really didn't happen. This is not a parable. It came to pass. That as He was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sit by the wayside begging. Now Mark 10 tells us, verse 46, that this blind man's name is Bartimaeus. Thank you, Sister Anita. Bartimaeus, huh? Tongue tied this morning. But not only is he sitting by the wayside, he's also begging. Yeah, nah, that's kind of the way I was. By the wayside begging. And I'm glad he came to where I was, just like he did to Bartimaeus. Verse 36 says, and hearing. Even though he was blind, he could hear. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. This blind man heard as he was sitting there by the wayside begging. And now an unexpected opportunity has presented itself to him. Matter of fact, there's a quotation here from a man named Glover, and it says, how suddenly and unexpectedly sometimes our greatest opportunities come to us. You'd be surprised how many people that all of a sudden, because of an opportunity, were able to rise above circumstances, were able to take advantage of that opportunity, and be changed forever. Then, verse 37 said they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now, blind Bartimaeus, he'd heard of Him. He'd heard of His healings. And also he knew about the Messiah. And one of the credentials of the Messiah was that He would open the eyes of the blind. That He would raise dead men back to life. And now they tell him that Jesus is near. And he had this one and only chance. Verse 38 said, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Here's a blind man that sees Jesus better than anybody around. Amen. He knows His name, Molly. He knows who He is. And to this day, a lot of people don't know that He's the Son of David, going to sit on the throne of His father David and rule and reign forever, because God's going to fulfill His promise to David. But Jesus,
you know, you need to see out of your heart.
Right. Yeah.
Because this man is blind.
Right.
But he still sees.
Amen.
So, you can see Jesus all you want to, but if you don't see Him with your heart, He's not
going to
be there.
Molly had some Jehovah Witnesses come to her this week. I said, you tell him he's a Jehovah Witness too, one of the saved ones. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad not only I know him, but I'm glad he knows me. He said, He's the good shepherd. He said, my sheep know my voice. He said, I call them by name in John chapter 10. And he said, another they'll not follow. But the credentials of the Messiah, which is mentioned in Isaiah 29 verse 18, one of the things was of the Messiah that was to come was that He would open the eyes of the blind. Now Bartimaeus here, he's claiming this promise. He cries out, have mercy on me. Now, if you want mercy, that's what you need to do. Just like what Bartimaeus did, ask for it. Matter of fact, James said, you have not because you ask not. But he said, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus, I have a hard time with his name. Little Lex this morning, he helped me out. I said, what was your name again, Lex? He said, just call me Lex, brother Ed. I said, thank you, buddy. That helped me out a bunch. Bartimaeus feared that he might be passed by. He feared that he might be overlooked. So he cries out. I mean, he ain't ashamed. Here he is. He's by the wayside begging. And the one that could help him more than anyone comes by. And it don't take him long, buddy, to make his announcement. Have mercy on me, Jesus, thou Son of David. Verse 39. They which went before rebuked him. Now that happens. I have people all the time tell me they're not old enough. Jesus sent up a little children to come unto me, forbid them not. I've had people all the time say they're not ready. I want you to know there's a whole lot about God. We ain't quite got it all figured out yet. And the best thing we can do is let the Lord do His work and try not to hinder it. But here's a multitude here. They're walking with Jesus. They're walking before Him, and they rebuke this blind man, and they tell him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Even though he was blind, I'll tell you what, buddy, he didn't pass up this opportunity. And he was, you know, in a predicament. I don't know if he's born blind or maybe something happened, but Jesus has got the cure for his blindness. They told him to hold his peace. They told him, "Stop your cries." Why should this great teacher, Jesus, why should he stop his journey for an insignificant blind beggar? Is pretty much what they told him. But the man, he would not let up. He would not quit crying. He cried aloud, even so more. And the man was like the impotent widow that would not cease from an opportunity, so he cried so much the more. Jesus gave a parable about an unjust judge and a widow come to her and pleaded her cause. And the reason he granted, because he said she was going to wear him out with her much coming. And he granted it. And the Lord told us to be like that woman. And here blind Bartimaeus, he cries out so much the more. Verse 40, and Jesus stood. What?
That's a way, another way that Jesus showed us all, and God showed us all. There's no respect of persons.
That's right.
None too little, none too weak, none too...
He's Lord of all.
Right.
And He's a God that the Bible said He's on time. He's on time. Even though He delayed His coming with Lazarus, because the Jews believe you could still raise on your own up to 4 days, and after that they acknowledge you're truly dead. He said, "I'm glad for your sake I wasn't here to intent you might believe." And He come and done the work of God. And all they could see was, here's a man that was dead 4 days, by this time stinks, now he's alive. They could not see Jesus because of the carnality. But He done it on purpose. He was right on time. Jesus stops. He stands still. And He's more ready to help. And He commanded this man, Bartimaeus, He commanded him to be brought to Him. And while he's coming, Jesus tells him, "Be of good cheer." Oh, I'm sorry. They said, "Be of good cheer. He calleth thee." I was about half asleep and I studied this lesson from working all week long. And I drew a line down through there before I fell asleep and I missed that. They told him, "Be of good cheer. Arise, for He calleth thee." And verse 41 says, saying, "What wilt thou that I do unto thee?" Jesus, you know, when you come to the Lord, the Bible says to make your request known. Come and tell God. He already knows. Jesus said, "The Father already knows what you have need of." But come and tell Him. I need some strength. I need some help. I need to know what this means. The Bible's one book, and it's the only book I know that the author's always present while you're reading it.
Amen.
And you can stop at any time and say, "Father, what does this mean?"
Right.
One thing the Bible said about Jesus, He opened the Scriptures to them. And without His help, they'll never be opened. But He promised to make His words known to us in Proverbs chapter number 1. And He can open this Word. It's a closed book to the world. It's only open to the children of God. The Bible says a natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. They're foolishness to them. But he that's spiritual knoweth all things, for God revealed them to him through the mind of Christ. We have that privilege that God can open His words to us. And Jesus said, what will you that I do unto you? He wants to know what He wants. You know, you need to make clear what you're seeking. If you need to be saved, tell the Lord, "I need to be saved." If you need assurance, tell the Lord, I've been struggling a little bit in faith, and I want blessed assurance. Fanny Crosby, the one that wrote the song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," is also the one that wrote the song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. But Jesus here says, "What is it you're seeking?" And He said, "That I may receive my sight." That's clear. Verse 42, Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight." Well, no problem at all, sis Nita. He didn't say, "I'll get back with you." He said, "Receive your sight."
Right.
It wasn't like He said, "I got to go ask and I'll come back." But He said, "Thy faith have saved thee." That means Bartimaeus believed Jesus to do what he asked him. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Well, Bartimaeus come believing that he was God. He come believing that he was able to do that which he was needing. And he said, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And Jesus said unto him, at the same time, this is mentioned in Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, touching his eyes. That's where the problem was. And he said, thy faith has saved thee. He showed his faith by coming to Jesus. He showed his faith by calling on Jesus. And I look at verse 43. And after 6 years, he got his sight. After the 10-step program, he started seeing. It said, and immediately he received his sight and followed him. Now, one thing good to get what you want, but notice Bartimaeus went a little further. He followed him. He glorified God. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise unto God. He received his sight. That's all he asked for. He's no longer blind. He no longer needs to beg. He's no longer helpless. He's no longer dependent upon the charity of others. Now he can help others. But he follows Jesus now. He glorifies God now. He was made whole by Jesus. And now he's something the Lord can use to help others. Luke 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. This is the only time he's coming through Jericho. And as Jesus walked through Jericho on his last journey to Jerusalem, here's Zacchaeus. He just left the roadside beggar. Now he can see. He's following him. Now he's at the place of one of the richest men of Jericho. He saved the poorest. Now he's fixing to save the richest. Verse 2 said there was a man named Zacchaeus who was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Zacchaeus not only was rich, but he had a contract with the Roman government to collect large sums of money. And that's how he got rich. And now he was hated. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he's of little stature. Now here's a man that's rich. He's hated because he's a publican. He's a tax extractor. And he's not very nice about it. But he wants to know who Jesus is. He wants to see Jesus. But he said he couldn't see him for the press. The crowds thronging about Jesus. Zacchaeus couldn't see him because he's short. He's of little stature. Now you see Zacchaeus here. You see in him the hindrance here of crowds of people, but you see also the opportunity is here. And if he don't take advantage of this opportunity, it's going to be lost forever. Not only that, his profession is against him. I mean, who's going to help a tax collector? Who's going to say, come on, I'll show you Jesus? Man, they shun him. Society itself is against him. And here he is. There's the past guilt. There's a necessity of trying to make many wrongs right. He don't have time to do all that. But verse 14, Anita, said he ran before. Now here's a rich man, William. He wants to see Jesus and he takes off running. Can you imagine a rich man running in here and just sliding in here and just sitting right here? I say, what'd you come for? He said, I want to hear about Jesus.
Amen.
Well, that's what's going on right here. Here's a rich man. He ran before this multitude, and he climbs up into a sycamore tree. Now, here's a rich man. He's becoming poor for the true riches. He's doing something that's going to be spoke against, something despicable. He's climbing a tree. He's ran. He wants to see Jesus because it says, for he was to pass that way. In his seeking to see Jesus, the one that he'd heard was a friend of publicans. His motive was not curiosity, but genuine interest. The opportunity come to Zacchaeus. Now multitudes are hiding Christ from him, but he got over that obstacle. He runs, climbs a tree, and this man of wealth ran to climb a tree. He overcome everything that was hindering him from seeing Jesus. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. That tells me he's interested. He didn't walk by. When he got there, Molly, he just looked up. Got a center treat here. He looked up and he saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. When Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was, not only did he look up, but he called him by name. Jesus not only knew his name, he knew his heart's desire.
Brother Dial was talking, you know, about him climbing the sycamore tree. I was going to listen. You know, they're kind of slick bark.
Yeah, they are.
I guess they're hard to climb.
I'm sure his skin all over the place. I've climbed a few of them myself.
He put in an effort.
Yeah, he did. Ain't too many limbs on a sycamore tree. It's like 30 feet to the first limb. Sometimes higher than that. They're just slick bark tree. He had to hug that thing and put forth a lot of effort. I have. I'm a deer hunter. You bet. I throw ropes over lambs and everything else.
Yeah, but not nothing, just climbing.
I mean, I bear hugged them. Got up there and then throw my rope down and said, tie it on my deer stand. I'll get it up here and then figure out how to get up here.
Really want to see the bark.
That's right. Jesus not only knew his name, he also knew what he was seeking. He knew his heart's desire. And he called on him and said, make haste, come down. This was extraordinary on the part of Jesus. Because he had accepted many invitations, and he never honored anyone more than he honored this publican by offering himself to share his hospitality. He said, I'm going home with you, buddy. I still remember the day he went home with me, Brother Howard.
Amen.
It was in the category of nearly impossible, but he went home with me. He took his rightful place, Sean, upon the throne of my heart, and he still lives there today. I'm not ashamed to call him my Savior. He's not ashamed to call me a brother. Amen. But he went home with Zacchaeus. And verse 6 said that Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He didn't waste no time at all. Now, William, you know what I know, ain't much bark on a sycamore tree. But what little bark was on that tree flew off of that thing like scales off a fish, I guess. And he didn't let this opportunity pass. And let me say this, that Jesus still passes by. He still invites opportunities just like this publican to sup with him. And you put forth the effort that Zacchaeus did, and Jesus will go home with you. Amen. And Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and sadly he's speaking this to churches. It's sad because he's just addressed seven churches. It's not good. And after addressing seven churches, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, the church is his. He told Peter, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He's the head of the church. He's the chief cornerstone of the church. He purchased the church with his own blood. And now here he is on the outside of the church, and he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I supped with him this morning.
Amen.
About 3 o'clock this morning. I had some fine time with the Lord this morning. He'll come to one, as many as he'll come to two or three. He said, wherever two or three are gathering my name, Lord, I'm in the midst, showing you about how bad it's going to get before the Lord comes back. We're going to get down to just a remnant, just a few faithful that are still love the Lord. And having a desire to learn more about Him and sing and worship Him in spirit and truth. But He says, I will come to Him, I will sup with Him and He with me. And as with Zacchaeus, he who hears the voice and opens the door will receive not only what he hopes for, but a great deal more. And Zacchaeus, boy, he put himself at a loss, but also the Lord did the same. And we'll comment on here in a second. Verse 7 said they all murmured. I'll get that here in just a minute. But he who really desires to leave sin. Now, think about what I'm saying here. God said He's angry with the wicked every day. And it says that if we'll come out from among sin, that He'll be a father to us, and we'll be His sons and daughters. He said Be ye separate, saith the Lord, come out and I'll receive you. And somebody doesn't think they can get saved, live a life of sin, and still have the blessing of God. And they need to read the Bible as a whole, not just take one verse, try to hang everything on that one verse. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. That's why I'm going to visit a young man in jail tomorrow. Now, Lord, whom He loves, He chastens. And if He don't chasten us, we're not a son. You can get away with anything if you're not saved. That's why some people, I just wonder if it's adding up right. Because, you know, they live like the devil and nothing ever happens. And the first time I get out of line, buddy, my heart smotes me. Then I have to find me a place of repentance and say, I'm sorry. And the Bible said if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just forgive us our sin. And if any man sin, we got an advocate of the Father, the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad I do have someone right next to God on my behalf. But He wants us to come out. Not to continue in sin. Come out of it. Just leave it behind. And he who really leaves sin and comes to Christ, repenting of his sins and forsaking them, will find infinite joy and peace. Verse 7 says, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. Listen, Jesus came seeking sinners. Peter said, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Listen, that's what he's looking for, is a man. It was 34 years old before I knew I was a sinner. But after I, by the help of God, realized I was a sinner, it didn't take me too long to get saved from my sin. It didn't take me too long to get straightened out about sin. But I'll tell you right now, the Lord's in the, I guess you could call Him in the rebuilding business or the salvage business. He salvaged me. He's still working on me. And Philippians says, be confident of this, that He had begun a good work in you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, will continue to the day of Christ. He's still working on me. I'm not exactly where I would like to be, but we're closer than where we was. But they hated this publican. They hated him, but the Lord loved him. This was a very unpopular act on the part of Jesus with the world, but it was one of the very acts which He proved that He was the Messiah. The Jews disapproved. He's going to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. Man, I'm telling you, here he is being friendly and sociable with sinners. Zacchaeus was a notable sinner. Jesus singled him out for the neglect of many prominent men in that company that wanted opportunity to sup with him. But that was an insult to those dignified Jews, but Jesus welcomes all sinners. All who are willing to leave their sins. All who are willing to repent. All who are willing to turn to Him. The greatest sinner in the world need not despair if he will repent and confess his sins and forsake them. There's room at the cross for him. One thing about the Bible, Paul said of a truth, Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners. That's what sinners need. They need to be saved. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one. But He's a seeking Savior. And He's found one here, the chiefest of sinners, Zacchaeus. And he not only goes home with him, but people murmur about it. Ain't no telling what all was said about me. ain't no telling what all said about me today. My wife, we went to that Gideon's meeting last night. She wanted to stop and get some shears, some kind of knee-high like things that women wear. And that package she bought had two in it instead of one. And she left the package in the car and I brought it back in the house. I said, you need to take these with you. I've got enough rumors out about me already. And I didn't want them in the car. She thought that's funny. But, you know, that laying in my car, here I am fixing up, pick up Laney and Levi. And here's them shears, some women's shears here. Picture on there, you know, put them on the leg and they're in my car. I brought them in. I said, you take these. I don't need it. I've got enough rumors out on me right now. But Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, the whole Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Now here's the evidence. The evidence. Everybody's still laughing. Me, the back here all in fact. Then he said, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Zacchaeus here, man, he makes a great proclamation here. He makes this proclamation before all these people that are murmuring. He makes this proclamation before his family. You may not realize this, but the devil will use your family to discourage you. He said a man's foes will be there of his own house. The devil knows the only weakness I've got is he can get to me through my wife. That's the only place I'm vulnerable. I talked to her this morning and I said, I wish you'd load up and go with me. And y'all keep praying me about that. I told her, I said, ain't it amazing God's given you a position of honor and prestige and you're letting the devil beat you out of it. And my wife, I can't speak against the church she's going to. It's a good church. I love the pastor. Great work. She was going there long before I come up here. But I need her. I'm half here. I need her. Two said he'll be. I'm half of one. I need her. Y'all keep praying with me about that. And I wish she was here this morning. But Zacchaeus here, as he makes this proclamation, he makes it for his family. He makes it for these that are murmuring. And he confesses his reformation before all. He confesses that he's got a new life, thanks to Jesus, before them all. And here he gives an example of being truly converted. His eyes now are open to the needs of others. You know, I didn't care about nobody anyway until I got saved. I lived a selfish, simple life. I'm last on the list now, Sean. It's Jesus first, others second, and old Ed's last. But I tell you what, till I got saved, I didn't see nobody in the mirror but me. But I thank God that He opened my eyes to the need of others. And I put myself at a loss now. For one thing, because the love of God constrained me to do that. You know, one thing the Bible said about Jesus, He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. I spent my life, William, running from sorrow and grief. I spent my life trying to fill it with things that brought joy and pleasure to me. I didn't care about anybody else but me. But I'm glad, thanks to Jesus, brother like Zacchaeus, and I'm ready to give to those in need. And here he is giving the evidence. His eyes now open to the needs of others. His heart's open to their need. Benevolence now here is manifested in his life. Now his billfold's open to them if they need it. He said, I've got it. I'll give it. Whatever. I mean, Betty, you're talking about evidence of a transformation. Here it is. And he said, if I took anything by false accusation, which was a sin that publicans were especially guilty of, Zacchaeus was among the worst of the publicans. And here he is saying, I restore fourfold all I've wronged. Now you're talking about heaven coming down. That's what Zacchaeus has got. He said, whoa, what a trade. Streets are gold, amen. For all these old dusty, dirty paths I've been trodden on. Zacchaeus here, but he's putting this in the right language. He said, I'll restore fourfold. I gladly give anything I've wronged anybody about. I found that pearl of great price. I found that joy unspeakable. I found that peace that passes all understanding. And look here. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. Now listen, Lord's bragging on him here. I'll comment on here in just a minute. But the Lord said, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. God had told Abraham that he said, I'm going to bless you. And he said, your seed's going to be as the stars of heaven without number, as the sand of the sea without number. And Abraham, man, he believed that. But here God is fulfilling that promise. He said, for as much as Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham. Now the Jews held a thing that if a Jew was a tax collector for the Romans, he lost his Jewish birthright. But Jesus here is seen restoring that birthright. Also, let me say, He restores everyone that through sin has lost their standing, has lost their spiritual birthright. And when one truly repents and comes to the Savior, he not only receives Him, but He makes him an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. And the Lord mentioned this day, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, that now is the accepted time. You know, a lot of people, they got good intentions. Just not now. But He said, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. A lot of things you can put off, but salvation is not one of them. But here, Zacchaeus, here, shows forth genuine repentance. And genuine repentance results in conversion. It results in salvation. Men, they want to wait a while to see if repentance is genuine, if it went deep enough to cause them to hold out. But Jesus automatically here brags about Zacchaeus. And he said, this day is salvation come to this man. He's fully turned from his former life. Now he's been reinstated. Now he is an heir. And the last verse here, and I'm sorry for taking so long. I've certainly enjoyed this Sunday school lesson. Verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We can learn from this that the Lord also was seeking Zacchaeus. If he had not made that statement, this would have all been Zacchaeus' doing. But the Lord here announces, that's why I came here. It's for you, buddy. I'm glad he came to where I was. I'm glad he gave me what I needed. And I'll tell you what, nobody could help me but him. But I really didn't have to go no further than him, Molly. I was made complete by him. I'm whole now. But the Lord here in his statement, he's making it known that he actually came to that place seeking Zacchaeus. And this was the work that he came to do. And let me say this about Jesus and the work of God. The business of his church is to find the lost. Matter of fact, we're supposed to go out in the hedges and highways and compel them to come in that God's house might be filled. And those that are bad and those who do not behave well, they're the ones he died for. Always. You know, I don't call anyone, but the Lord always makes them better. And you know, my pastor told me one time, he shared with me, and he gave a lot of wisdom to me, but he said, they just need the Lord, Eddie. They're in the rough. But once they get saved, they'll be different. You know, I'm like you. I don't like it when people misbehaving. I don't like it when they get up and walk through church while you give an invitation. But you know what? They're not there yet. The Lord, He changes people. And Melvin mentioned last night at that Gideon's meeting, he said, I want to get out and find men that are lost and get them church, get them saved. And one of the men spake last night about General Wilkes Booth. One of the things about General Wilkes Booth, which I'd read quite a bit about him myself, was he had a dream one night. And in that dream, he dreamed that he saw this ocean of people that were drowning. Nobody cared. They were over there playing their games. They was over there, you know, talking and flirting and drinking. And here's people that's, help me, help me. And he awoke from that dream. And he started the Salvation Army. And he's a great man. One thing General Wilkes Booth said, go after the lost. And the worse, the better. Jesus said, who will love me the most? He's been forgiven of much. He's been forgiven a little. But somehow or another, we look at people and we categorize them. That's not a candidate. But Jesus, He wants us to go and bring them in. They may not behave well. They may not smell good. They may not do like you. But I'll tell you one thing. They need the Lord just as much as you do.
Amen.
Amen. And we are to seek men. And we are to work until He comes. I went a little bit over there this morning. Sorry about that. Brother James, you would please come up here and help us for our Sunday school introduction.